Acts 9:1-19. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see anything. So they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke in your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings, and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to me to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength.
Thanks, Kenton, for doing that. If you haven't figured out already, this is an intergenerational service, and it's been lovely to see bits included in that, all the way from the welcome, the kind of things we sing, and Bernadette's sensitive prayer around the generations. That's all great. And so I am Mark Fox, and I'm one of the large group leaders that work with Olivet Kids. And just so you know, the Olivet Kids program, where you see kids maybe not here, what happens is we do a little bit of what we've done here today. We sing some songs, we have some worship time, a story is told, and then they break into small groups and work through maybe what the implications of that story are. So this intergenerational service, we're just taking one piece of that, which is I'm the storyteller, and I'm going to tell a bit of the story. Will this make a noise? No. You'll just get a feel for what it is. And I'm putting up here, I'm doing this because there might be a need for more storytellers. And there is a script that comes, which is usually, I edit it, because sometimes it's good, sometimes it's actually not that good. But you need to make it work, okay? So, I'm the storyteller today, okay? And of course, a storyteller should have something to distinguish him by, which I just decided. So here we are. Welcome. So, I want the first picture to go up and see if you can tell me who this is. Yeah, yeah. Terry Fox. What do you know about him, Ava?
He's got the same name as you.
No, but what else do you know about Terry Fox? Forget about Mark Fox. He ran almost across Canada, actually. And anything else? What else? Excellent. Yeah, for cancer research, he had bone cancer. He lost a leg to cancer. Jane.
His goal was to raise $1 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Timothy. This is... Yeah, he ran across Canada to raise money. Very good, you know that. And you know the thing that I really like about this? He has the same last name as me, but we're not related. But so, the interesting thing about Terry Fox is that, he raised money. He was going to raise $1 million. Last time I ran in the Terry Fox run, they said he had raised, all these runs across the world, had raised almost $650 million for cancer research. Is that a lot of money? Yeah, that would certainly do something to the budget of all of it, I would think. So, but the thing we want to think about today is, did God use Terry Fox's life, the good parts and the not so good parts, right? He had cancer, you can see here he lost a leg and he died. Did God use Terry Fox's life, the good parts and the not so good parts, to make a difference? Yeah. And so what we're thinking about today is that God can use our stories, the good parts and the not so good parts, to make a difference. So think about that, and we're going to learn a bit about that as we tell the story. Let me get the next picture up. Okay, who's that a picture of?
Someone,
exactly. Yes, someone with a, you know, a mobile stone tablet. You know, the cameras on those devices were pretty bad, and they didn't take great pictures. But that is supposed to be a picture of this guy that we're going to tell a bit of the story about, of Paul. And we just read it. Kenton just read some of the story. Paul had a big influence on a guy called Timothy. And let me just read you a little bit about Timothy. The part I want to read here. So Timothy is this guy. Let's read about it. Paul is traveling and he went on to some towns. And there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the believers in the town. And Timothy's life is about to get changed because this guy, Paul, shows up. And the thing to look out for, as we learn a bit, we learn about a bit of Paul's story, is to be just like Terry Fox. God used the good stuff and the not so good stuff in Paul's life to really make a difference. In fact, I've got the Bible up here, which I'm reading from, and a lot of the letters in the back part of this Bible, which you call the New Testament, are by Paul. And so we're going to hear a bit of Paul's story. And in order to help explain who Paul was, I'm going to need a bit of a help from somebody.
Did you just say you need somebody to come help play Paul?
Exactly. My hearing's as good as yours. Look at that. Well, as this person comes down, now I know who the speaker is. This is who Reverend Mark Fox is, just coming down the street here. Yes, well, thank you. So I'm telling the kids, this is the speaker, Reverend Mark Fox, right here. And So I'm telling the kids the story about Timothy and Paul, and Paul took time to train Timothy and get him to lead others, to tell them about Jesus. And Paul encouraged Timothy by writing him letters. And there's actually a letter in here, two letters that we have here, addressed to Timothy to encourage him from Paul. And in one of those letters, Paul goes into the background of Paul's story. And as I said, I need someone to help me play Paul. Yeah, good man. Good, awesome, Paul. Okay, so Paul, of course, you know, he has to look a little bit like that picture. Mm-hmm. So here we go. So there we go. You need that. But you know, the thing is with Paul, he was not a nice guy.
What did I do?
Well, let me tell you. I'm going to walk you through this. It'll be fine. So that's Paul's costume you've got on.
What are you saying? You mean by?
Yeah, you weren't nice. Yeah, exactly. Well, see, great question. See, Paul didn't always believe that the Christians were a good thing. He had a job as a religious lawyer. And he thought the business of people following Jesus was the worst thing for business for a long time. And so he went around hunting believers in Jesus down, trying to get them arrested, maybe taking them to prison, and hopefully getting them killed.
That's pretty awful.
Yeah, you didn't think you were such a bad person when you came here today, but you obviously are. There's even a story. There's another story here. You can grab these coats. There's a story. It's a kind of a terrible story. It's about this guy called Stephen. He was a follower of Jesus. And he said something. The crowd got so mad they decided to kill him. And in those days, fortunately we don't do that in Canada still, although we just hope the election goes the right way. He has a lot of coats. You could even have a hat if you wanted. Okay. So, this guy Stephen, so the people were, the way they killed them sometimes in those days, they'd throw rocks at people until they died. And of course, you know, if you want to throw a rock well, you got to get rid of all the coats so you can actually wing it nicely and make a good impact. But that's a kind of a nasty thing that happened. So, you know, are you feeling good with all the coats? And what the story is, actually, is that Paul was there when they were killing Stephen, and he stood by, kind of, and he took people's coats so they could get a good shot in. He did.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not all that Paul did. You can put the coats down if you want. Don't put them in here. So there he was. I'm going to give you some other props here.
More things for
me. Yeah. So the Paul guy, you know, as I said, he was this very excellent lawyer, but he was out to get... He got permission from his bosses, the chief priests, to go to Damascus because he heard that there were some Christians there. And what he wanted to do was hunt them down. And then it says, take them in chains and take them to Jerusalem where they could be tried and maybe convicted, put in prison, and hopefully he was looking for a death sentence on them. So that's what those chains are. How are you feeling about that?
Well, these chains are even heavier than coats.
Yeah, they're way heavier than coats. And, you know, it's quite a ways to walk from Damascus to Jerusalem. How are you feeling about them?
Super tired, and these chains are super heavy.
Yeah, they are. They don't look heavy, I know, to people, but they are incredibly heavy. So, but, you know, if I were you, I'd be less worried about those chains than about this bright light. This bright light. It's about to shine in your face.
Why would you do that to me?
Well, because the Bible says that when Paul was on the road to Damascus, a bright light shone in his... Okay, we've done that already. Okay, we've done that line. And a bright light shone on his face and a voice spoke and he heard someone speaking to him.
Whose voice would that be?
Well, it turns out that the voice was Jesus. And this voice was Jesus speaking to Paul, saying, listen, all those people you're trying to kill and put in chains and, you know, you're out to get rid of them, they, what they say about me is actually true. I actually did rise from the dead, and I want you, Paul, to actually change your tune and start telling my story about Jesus being raised from the dead.
So,
and
did I, Paul, become a
Paul? Yeah, Paul, right, or Reverend Mark Fox, but Paul for now. Yeah, you did, actually. And as I was saying a bit earlier, Paul, it says he was blinded because that light was incredibly powerful for 3 days, right? If this shone in your light for 3 days, no, just for a moment, it would blind you. And he was in Damascus, remember where you were going to arrest people? And then as Kenton read, the story goes on, Paul was healed, and then he started telling the story. And his influence is all over the New Testament here. Lots of stories about him, letters by him. And so he has influenced thousands and thousands of people. But Paul, I think, told his story to Timothy so that Timothy would know something very important.
And what's the important thing?
The important thing, I think, is this. Is Paul said, if anyone, let me just read what it said here. If anyone, if God could show mercy to Paul, where is that? Here, 4. I can't find it here. Ephesians 2, here we are. I'm grateful. Yes, here he says, this is what he says in 1 Timothy. We read it a bit earlier. He says, if God could show mercy to me, he says, even though I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor and a man of violence. We've seen that. I received mercy. And he talks about himself as being the worst of sinners. But the important thing is, Timothy needed to know that if God could take Paul and his story, the good parts, and of course today we've focused on the not so good parts, and use that to make a difference, not just in that time, but in, well, to billions of people, you could say, have been impacted by Paul, then God can use our story, the good parts, and the not so good parts, to make a difference.
That's pretty awesome news.
Yeah, that is great news. And Timothy was encouraged by Paul's words, and we should be encouraged too, because Paul's story is important, Timothy's story is important, your story is important, my story is important. Every one of our stories are important. Not just the good parts, but the good, but the bad, not so bad, not so good parts, right? God can use all of that in our stories to make a difference.
God,
right?
Also had a lot of mercy.
Oh,
Paul too.
He had an amazing amount of mercy. And that's, I think, that's why we want to tell this story. And that's why I think Paul wanted to be sure Timothy knew his story. That if God could have mercy on Paul for all that stuff, there's no reason anybody needs to worry about being a part of God's story. And Paul's story important, Timothy's story important, your story is important, and my story is important. That's what we need to know. And here's the main thing. Jesus wants to use your story, the good parts and the not so good parts, to make a difference. And a couple of things have been happening during the week. Some people have been meeting on Tuesdays to talk about their stories and their spiritual gifts, about where they can make a difference. That's happening. A little later, there's going to be a community lunch you've heard about, and there's a place set for you. That's maybe a chance for your story and someone else's story to be exchanged in a little way. And at that place, there's this ministry expo where maybe you can see where your story, who you are, and what options there are to do, you can be used to make a difference, right? And I just want to end, I don't know if the kids, if you want to come up, I thought since we're having communion, this is a good illustration of what's going on here. Yeah, you can stay there. You know, a little later we're going to take communion, and we're going to take these wafers, it looks like, and some juice, and we're really talking about what we've been talking about now. This is a sign of God's mercy to all of us. Because of what Jesus did when he died and rose again, all of our stories matter, the good parts and the not so good parts. Because God, who has mercy, Paul talks about mercy was just poured out on me. That same God wants to meet us and say, your story. You might not feel that great about yourself today or what's happened, how you've played your hand that's been dealt to you in life. But guess what? This is a merciful God. Amen. Your story, the good and the bad and the ugly, can be used by God to make a difference. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for the stories we have in the Bible, that they aren't censored. The ugly bits and the nasty bits are there for us to be reminded that you are a God of great mercy, that there's wonderful news, that you are the God who pours out mercy again and again. So thank you for our stories. Thank you for Paul's story. Thank you for the story that this communion tells us as we remember month by month, that you are a God of mercy and that no one needs to be separated from you, and that you are in the business of redeeming all of us, not just the good stuff, but the bad stuff too, so that we can make a difference in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.